You'll want to turn to Matthew chapter 5. We'll get there in just a second.
I wanted to ask you about a blessing in your life. And so, like I said, this isn't in the notes, or so they're not going to be finding. There's nothing on the screen. And you have to use your outside voice because they didn't bring a microphone to you. So I would just like you to shout out some blessing this week. Okay? A blessing this week. You don't have to tell the, you know, I want the Reader's Digest version. You know, just how did God bless you this week? Just someone start.
Family.
What was this over here?
Beautiful
days that we've had. Any others?
Bible study.
Again, spend time in God's Word.
Supportive
friends, yeah. You know, this goes back to the very beginning of the week for Brendan and I. Our daughter, our son-in-law, and our two grandchildren were here. What a blessing it was. Here's my memory of it. Caleb was in the wagon too, but Levi found our wagon. I mean, the wagon that we got when Stacy was his age. And so, little red wagon, and on the hill behind the parsonage there, it's perfect to ride a wagon down. And that's such a blessing to me to see our grandkids and our family. And
you've had many, many blessings, I have no doubt. And we want to praise the Lord for that. Well, we're going to talk about blessings in just a minute, because
there's a difference between blessings and commands, right? Do you know the difference? You can pretty much tell the difference between a command and a blessing. You know, commands and blessings aren't the same. Commands point us in a good direction, and commands can be a blessing. Don't misunderstand me. They point us in the right direction and point us to the good things that God has for us. And so, in that way, commands can be blessings, but it's a little bit different because commands definitely imply an effort on our part, some self-effort. Commands, you have to do something. Commands are God saying, this is my way, do this. Commands tell us what to do. Okay, so we understand commands. But blessings, this is the thing about blessings that differentiate from commands. Blessings involve no self-effort. Blessings are given to you. All those things that you mentioned as blessings from God, He gave them to you, didn't He? You didn't earn them. You didn't deserve them. There they are. God blesses us. Blessings tell us who we are. Blessings are God's telling us who we are. They tell us who God made us to be. Apart from what we deserve, apart from what we earn, of anything that we could muster up ourselves, it is totally by His grace you are, and then fill in the blank. Those are blessings from God. We read from Genesis last week to discover that you are free. Remember that one? Oh, and by the way, did you notice in the bulletin, the list, we found it? It's a lot. We're not going to do all these, okay? Just a couple over the next couple weeks. But I wanted to point that out, make sure you saw that. But last week we started with the thought that you are free. You're free to choose. It's part of who God created you to be. It's part of your created nature to have a free will. It's who you are, who God made you to be. You are free. No amens? No woo-hoos, nothing like that? That's a big thing. But today we're going to go on from there and look at another passage of Scripture where Jesus defines us as two things, and they say a lot about our nature in Christ. So this is written for Jesus followers, okay? And Jesus is describing those who are following Him. This is who you are. If you're not a Jesus follower here this morning, bear with me. You'll hear what it's about, and I think you might be interested. We'll get there in a second. Here Jesus describes for us what our simple presence can accomplish each and every day because of who you are in Christ. And that's where we get to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, where Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount, "You are the salt of the earth." But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Listen closely here to what Jesus was saying about you. You are salt and light. You are not like salt and light. He doesn't say that you should try to act like salt and light. He simply says, you are salt. You are light. That helps us to see the difference between a command and a blessing. The command would be try to act like it, start to live that way. But Jesus says, no, you are. You are salt. That's his blessing. You are light. Because this is not a command from him. This is Jesus blessing you. He didn't plead with you to take on salt-like qualities. He isn't urging you to somehow summon up the best light that you can. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. There's no self-effort to that. It's who you are as a Jesus follower. Now, I want you to see that and let that sink in for just a minute. That from the moment you said, Lord, forgive my sins, I want to follow you, the light came on. You came on. Salt. You're the salt of the earth. Important in so many ways. What a blessing from God. Now, don't misunderstand me here this morning. I'm not saying that there isn't a place for commands. I already said commands can be a blessing because they lead us to the very best that God has for us. Of course there is a place for commands in our lives. But I don't want you to confuse one for the other. There's a difference between commands and blessings. You're able to complete the commands because of the blessings. Because, you know, we couldn't live up to Jesus' standard were it not for what he enables us to do, right? Just that simple one. Love one another as you love yourselves. It's hard, isn't it? Have you ever met an unlovely person? One or two. And we try our best and we try to act really loving and kind and all the rest, and it may last for a little while, but they keep pushing that, you know, button. They keep getting on that one nerve that you have left, and it's hard to love them. That's just one command from Jesus. You see, we can't follow his commands without his blessings in our lives. Blessings, encouragements, build an atmosphere that foster obedience to the commands. Saying, you've heard the saying, you attract more bees with honey than with vinegar. Or did I just make that one up? Have you ever heard that one? Flies. Well, who wants flies? You know, I'd like to have bees because they make more honey. Anyway, I guess I was thinking in Wyoming, a good friend of mine was a beekeeper. And I would go to his shop and you would see all the old, hives that he had there that he had already emptied, but the bees, it would be just that little bit of honey left in there and they would just all be all over. So anyway, you can attract bees with honey. But you do it a lot better than with vinegar. And I just want you to think, who would you rather work for? A boss who constantly is making demands and never gives any positive feedback? Or would you prefer a boss who affirms your skills and abilities while still giving you clear direction for the task at hand? It would sound something like this. Would you prefer someone who came to you and said, you're a smart, capable worker. Here's what I need for you to do. Or would you rather work for someone who came to you and said, let's see if you can keep from screwing it up this time, okay? Which would you prefer? Jesus is pronouncing this blessing to his followers. you and I can know that in Jesus we have all that we need to get the job done. Because he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Everything I'm going to ask you to do, you are capable of. I made you that way. So what's the job that he has for us as salt and light? Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. Well, we know what salt is. Some of us use it more than we should sometimes. But but we use it, what, for flavoring, right? Nothing. Eggs without salt? You know, you got to have a little salt there for flavoring. And also salt preserves. You know, it was a means of preservation, especially when Jesus was saying this to the people in that culture, and they didn't have refrigeration or anything like that. When you wanted your meat to stay fresh, you salted it. So salt is used for flavoring and preserving. So Jesus is saying that you as a Jesus follower, add the flavor of righteousness to the world around you. Just by your presence. Just by you living your life as a Jesus follower. You add the flavor of righteousness in the world. And he's telling you that he intends to use you to save many people from the decay of sin and death. You will preserve many lives. As I was reading about this salt, I came across a verse that I really didn't remember seeing before very much. I'm sure I read it, but it was one of those verses that just went right over my head. Didn't really grab anything. It's in Leviticus. And if you're reading through the Bible, Leviticus is one of the toughest books to get through, isn't it? You know, day after day after day, all the laws. Anyway, but in Leviticus chapter 2, in verse 13, it says, season, this is a command to Israel, season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. Had you ever heard that one before? Do you have that like cross-stitched and hanging in the kitchen somewhere? I didn't, okay? It might work in the kitchen. I don't know. Add salt to all your offerings. Anyway, I was reading a commentary by Roy Gain on Leviticus, and he pointed out that salt represents permanence. Because of it, it's a preservative. We already mentioned that. It preserves things. So salt represents permanence. So adding salt symbolized the permanent binding nature of the covenant that Israel was in with God. And I thought, so that was the symbolism of that. Put salt in all your offerings because it reminds you that this is a permanent covenant that you have with God. So when Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth here in Matthew, he's saying that your permanent, life-altering relationship with God will naturally impact those around you. Your permanent, life-altering relationship with God as a Jesus follower will just naturally impact those who are around you to improve the moral flavor of society and to preserve it from moral decay. Just by you being you as a Jesus follower. And you say, oh, no, not me. Yes, you, Jesus says. That's why the warning that follows this, Jesus talked about salt losing its saltiness, is important to us. Because physically speaking, we know salt can't lose its saltiness. Okay? Sodium chloride is a very stable compound. It doesn't go away. You try to dilute it and all you have is salty water, right? You try to heat it, it's still there. It's still salt. And so, what's Jesus talking about? Salt losing its saltiness. Well, if we go back to what was written by God in Leviticus chapter 2, if salt is in the offering represents that permanent binding nature of our covenant with God, then I think Jesus is highlighting the difference between the true commitment to follow him and being a casual acquaintance of him. Are you in that permanent binding relationship with Jesus. Entered into that covenant that saves your life. Or are you just kind of taking this idea of being salt like a command instead? Well, I'll try to be the best salt I can. Because sometimes that's how we deal with things from God's Word. He says this is what we are, and we say, well, I'll try to do my best with that. And what is our best to God? Our righteousness is like filthy rags to Him. It just doesn't measure up, ever. And so when He talks about salt losing its saltiness, I think that's what He's saying, that you've got to be all in here. You've got to be a part of this life-altering covenant that is permanent. It doesn't change. And so Jesus is asking us, are you leaving the salt out of your offering? Your offering to God is yourself. That's what He wants. He wants you. He wants you to be in this permanent binding covenant with Him. Because your saltiness depends on being yoked to Jesus, like we talked about last week. Your saltiness depends on being yoked with Jesus in covenant. Without Him, you have no moral authority. You can't go out and say, this is how you're supposed to live. You can't. No, because without Him, it's just you. You are salt because you are infused with the life of Christ. Again, that's a blessing because you can't earn that. You don't have to work hard to try to get it. He just says, come to Me. I'll give you life where you were once dead in sin. I'll make you pure where once you were once defiled in unrighteousness. Yeah, what a blessing. Jesus in you, not your self-effort. But it's not only a blessing to you. You then become a blessing to others just by your presence. Just like salt flavors and preserves all that's around it, you are the salt of the earth. I used to cook at the church camp in Western Pennsylvania, Mahaffey Camp. If you heard of it, then you're all good. But if you haven't, you got to get there sometime. But I, as a pastor, I used to cook in the kitchen there, and we would serve meals to all these people. And it was shortly after this that I stopped being a cook in the kitchen, actually, I think. We were making, I can't remember what we were making. Oh, we were making beans, thank you. That was it. She remembered. But we were making beans from scratch. No opening cans for us. Oh no, that would be too easy. So, you have to soak the beans. And what I was trying, I thought we were following the instructions right, but you have to soak them in just water. You don't soak them in salt water. Because once you put the salt in, it's done. They're hard. And so we had these little hard pebbles. Wonderful tasting sauce, I just want to say. The beans were nuts. I didn't cook much after. They didn't trust me much with after that. But the point is, once you put the salt in, there's no getting it out. It's permanent. And when you get Christ in your life, you are the salt of the earth. And so when you step into a room, that room is salty. Okay? When you... It's somewhat, but especially when you start to engage in an individual's life, when you invest in them, you spend time with them, you talk with them, you walk alongside them in life, you are adding salt in their life. You are a blessing to them. Just by you being you, praying for someone, talking with someone, encouraging someone, helping someone. Does that make sense? Jesus was saying, you're the salt of the earth. Just your presence as a Jesus follower adds flavor and preserves all that's around it. But that's not all there is. Because he says, you're also the light of the world. Light, we know, dispels darkness and also exposes the truth. We do it when you walk in a dark room. You turn on the light, all of a sudden the darkness is gone. It doesn't slowly creep out into a corner. Oh, it does go into corners sometimes, but it doesn't slowly creep away. No, you turn on the light, the darkness is gone. And when you turn on the light, you get to see the truth of what's in the room. So you don't stub your toe as you're walking through in the dark. That's what light does. And like salt, this is a blessing to us, not a command. He's not saying, hey, you better up your game here because you've gotta dispel darkness and you've gotta expose the truth. That's you doing that. No. He says, you are the light of the world. It's not about you working hard to shine a light. Because with Jesus in you, you are light. Paul wrote about it to the Ephesians, and because it wasn't always the case in your life, was it? Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Because of Adam's choice to rebel against God in the Garden of Eden, sin entered man's nature. And you and I were born with that sin nature. It just passed down genetically there. And in addition to that, every one of us has confirmed that by our actions, our attitudes, our words, over and 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 over again. That sin nature keeps showing up in our lives. That means that you and I, as Paul said, were once darkness, separated from God, lost in sin. But when you accept Jesus' offer of forgiveness and life, you enter into that covenant relationship that we were talking about earlier. And his blessing to you in that is that you are the light of the world because of him. I mentioned this at the start. If you're not a Jesus follower, if you've never accepted Jesus' offer of forgiveness and life, if you've never entered into that covenant with him where you say, take my sins and I will follow you, then he offers it to you right now. And there's no better time than right now. There's no use saying, I'll wait till tomorrow. There's no better time than right now. Because if you've tried doing this on your own, and you're tired of living your own way, stumbling around in the darkness, and you want Jesus to turn your darkness and confusion into light and purpose, then he says, ask me. That's it. Ask me. Ask him to forgive you. And commit your life to follow him. Enter into that covenant. That's what a covenant is. You do this, I'll do this. You take my sin, I will follow you. Ask him to forgive you and commit to follow him. His promise is that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your choice. Because you are free to choose. And if you've never asked him into your life like that, and you're saying, ooh, I like that thought. Right now, right where you're at, just bow your head and say, Lord, I get it. I'm a sinner walking in darkness and I desperately need your light. forgive me, and I will follow you. And if you pray that prayer or something like that in your own words to God, confessing your sin and telling him you want to follow him, he says, I'll forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's done. Clean slate. Here we go. Because here we go, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. If you're a Jesus follower. Now I do ask, if you prayed that prayer, this isn't like you have to do this, but I would really tell me later, or tell someone you came with this morning that, ooh, I finally got it and I prayed that prayer and I want to follow Jesus. Because we're all following Jesus. You might as well walk with us. It's so much easier when you have someone walking with you. So just let us know. We would love to. I want to help. Okay, that's the idea. Got it? Good. It's a miracle of God, isn't it? That he can take our darkness and make it light. You were once dead, and now you're alive in Jesus. You were once darkness. If you read that, how he said it, he said you were once darkness. Not just you were in darkness, you were darkness. But now, in Jesus, you are the light of the world. Because when Jesus said, you are the light of the world, he was telling you that just as his life in you makes you salt, his life in you makes you light. It's a blessing from God, a gift given to you as a Jesus follower. You don't have to struggle and somehow shine in your own self-effort. Because sometimes we read that verse in Ephesians and that's what we think. Where he says, live as children of light. We think, ooh, now I gotta really work at this. All of us are children of somebody, right? That's just the nature of things. We have parents. Do you have to try to be your parents' child? No, you are. They might not always like what you do, but you're their child. And that's how it is. As a child of God, you are the light of the world. Living as children of light is just being who you are in Christ. If you're following him, and that's the covenant we make, we're going to follow. If we're following him, he will always lead you in the right things. He will always lead you in the best ways. He will always lead you to his desired goal, his purpose. And that will be, boom, light. It'll be light all the time. That's what he was talking about there in Matthew in verses 15 to 16 when he says, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. He's just talking about not getting in the way. All right? You are the light of the world. Stop putting a basket over your head. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone. So just be the light that he's made you to be. As you live your life following Jesus in his power, you'll shine like he shines, and you will point people to God's glory. Because it will never be, oh, look at Mike, he's such a good guy. I mean, he is. But that's not the point of it. That happens when you sit up front, sorry. You know, that's not the point. What it is, look at Mike. What has changed his life? And Mike's first answer will be Jesus. Look at Jesus. That's what we do. Just look at Jesus. He's the source of all of this. Being salt and light is Jesus' blessing, not our self-effort. And that puts an entirely different perspective on his commands, all of his commands that we read in Scripture, all the commands that are there. They stop being have-tos and they start being get-tos. Ooh, I get to do that. I get to do that. I get to live my life in obedience to Jesus because of who he made me to be. That change of focus is huge. If you focus on obedience by self-effort, it will only lead to discouragement and defeat, because no matter how good you do for how little time, you're going to fail. The truth is, you can't obey Jesus without Jesus. You can't do it. But with Jesus, you can't help being salt and light, because he said you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Pliny the Elder, who was an ancient Greek philosopher, said, "There's nothing more useful than salt and sunshine." I like that statement. You and I, as Jesus followers, have been blessed by Jesus, making us salt and light. And there's nothing more useful than salt and sunshine. It makes us useful to the whole world. You have been blessed by God to be a blessing to others. You get to flavor and even preserve others' lives by being involved with them. You get to shine light into darkness and illuminate the best path for them to see. Salt and light simply exist as it is, where it is. And that's the same for us. Our part is living in Christ, who blesses us to be a blessing to those around us. Just being who Jesus made you to be, it affects the whole world. One person at a time. That's the blessing that Jesus pronounced over you. You, Jesus follower, you are the salt of the earth. You, Jesus follower, are the light of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder of who you've made us to be, this blessing. And Lord, I ask that as we let it sink into our minds and into our hearts of who we are in Christ, it'll change our outlook on everything. And that, Lord, we will see you at work in us and through us, making a difference in our world. Not for our glory, but for yours. Because we ask all this in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.